let's begin. Parshas Chayisara is one of those parshas which the halachas use to speak about issues relating to marriage. There are other parshas, of course, where this comes in, and or other things, that's true, or avails, all sorts of different interesting halachos. But over the years, I think we've spoken about kiddushin on the Parshas Chayisara, but I wanted to speak about something relating to Nisuin tonight, and specifically the issue of Sheva Brachos. We'll speak in parts both about the Sheva Brachos during the Chuppah as well as during the week of Sheva Brachos following. And the reason that I mention it this week, this particular Shabbos, is because in various sources in Chazal, which discuss the source for Sheva Brachos, there is most notably Maseches Kala, which is one of the Maseches Ketanos, Kala Rabasi, right in the beginning in Perek Aleph, Halachos Aleph and Beis, really Beis, discusses the source. There's a Pekar Drab Eliezer, the Gemara in Ksuba, Stav Zayin, and one of the prominent sources, which is quoted in Chazal as the source for Sheva Brachos, surprisingly, because there's obviously some incongruity, as you'll see in a moment, is a pasuk from our Parsha. In Perek Chavdalid, Pasuk Samech, when we hear about the Shidduch between Yitzchak and Rivka now has agreed that she's going to go back and going to be with Eliezer to marry Yitzchak, but she's about to take leave of her family, we are told, Vayavarchu as Rivka, they blessed her, Yomer lach, Hoseinu at, Hayila alvei ravava, Yirash zarech, Shar sonat. They gave her a blessing, they blessed her, and the Maseches Kala quotes this pasuk again, it's before the wedding, it's not seven brachas, it's a lot of obvious incongruity, but nevertheless, Maseches Kala quotes this as a source for blessing the Kala. In fact, in one of the versions talks about it almost just like they were standing, we will stand. They're like a chazan giving a blessing, so two a chazan under a chuppah would give a blessing, and this is an important source. Now, it's important to note, and we'll see, I hope, at various points throughout the shir, there may even be some halachic nafkamina, but these sources in the Gemara and the Pirkei Eliezer, excuse me, in the Maseches Kala, actually also offer some alternative sources as well. For example, the pasuk at the end of Perek Aleph in Bereishis, after Adam and Chava are created, and we talk about Ve'yavarach Osam and Pru Ravu, so obviously Pashur Pshat Ve'yavarach Osam has nothing to do with our topic. And yet, this is one of the sources that speak about Sheva Brachos. Some say that Hashem made 10 weddings for them, I think, and he gave them all sorts of brachos when he married them off, because again, it's right before Pru Ravu in the Pasuk, so that's another Pasuk that some Parshim quote.
Leah and Racha waiting 7 days for, I mean, that's not a...
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that quoted. It's not that a good thing.
Wait 7 days until...
I'm not sure. Yeah, okay. Well, the ones that I'm thinking of, the ones that are quoted here, was either the Arman Chava one, or one that's often quoted by the poskim in these sources is with Boaz and Rus, and Perek Dalet of Rus, we'll talk about gathering, Boaz gathered men for the wedding, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Beis, or there's a pasuk in Tehillim, which is quoted by certain poskim from Kapitel Samach Ches 68:27, Makahalos Baruchu Elokim Mimakor Yisrael. In great, you know, multitudes, they'll bless Hashem Mimakor Yisrael. So they say Al Iske Makor, which is a tsanua, you know, reference to intimacy. About that, meaning about marriage, they'll gather the Makalos to bless Hashem, and that's another source that is quoted. Tosus in Ksuba Staf Zayin makes it clear that this is Mira Rabbanan, these psukim are nasmachta, but there are these various sources that are suggested. So what I thought to do tonight is to have, we'll see, as we'll get through as many as time permits, maybe we'll get through all of them, but I picked like 7 or 8 halachos about Sheva Brachos, just to go over, you know, as opposed to what we may typically do like we did last week, where we took one topic and we burrowed deep. Here I want to do a little bit deep, but not so deep, but to give a little bit of an overview of the various different halachos. There are innumerable number of halachos, which is why there's countless svarim that have written on these topics. So there's a lot more than 7 or 8 topics, and even within the topics that we're going to do, we're not going to get, you know, discuss every nuance or every variable and permutation, but just to focus on a few of the halachos. And what I'd like to conclude with is a shaila which I have yet to be asked halacha lemaisa, but you never know. And that is the question of whether women can recite the Sheva Brachos. Under the Chuppah,
in Riverdale.
I didn't say, no rabbi has been asked the Shaila. I said, I have yet to be asked the Shaila. Okay. The closest thing, just as a trivia question, the closest thing, and I admit I'm not sure it's that close, and it's only happened once in 5 years anyway, the closest thing that I got from one of our members was a number of years ago already. I was asked under the ksuba, could the chassan and kala be referred to as ben or bas, not only their father, but also their mother, could the mother's name be inserted in the ksuba? In case you're curious, I told them absolutely not. I said, I'd come to the wedding even if you don't listen to me, but I won't read the ksuba, which is the kibbutz they wanted to give me. And to their credit, even though they didn't like the answer, they bowed, and they followed what I told them to do. But anyway, that's once in 5 years, but that's Baltimore.
Lee wants to spell, sickness.
Yes, we discussed the Mishabera, that's right. There we definitely use the mother's name, that's right. That's right. Okay. So, one of the halachos said
that...
Maybe there was the
about marriage? Yikes. Well, that's the joke that everyone was telling me this week. I had like 13 people told me in light of the financial crisis. Now they're telling all the coal guys they have to make adjustments in light of the financial stress. Now you should marry for love. You didn't hear this yet?
Yeah.
I should not be the source. Now I feel bad telling you. I should not be the source of these things to you. I thought everyone knew. Exactly. So if Alan and I heard it, really, it's a shot on everybody else. All right, let's get serious. The Mishnah Megillah tells us Nachav Gimel, and the Gemara Ksubas picks up on this, that Sheva Brachas need a minion. You do not say Sheva Brachas without a minion. Over the years, there have been in various places of Shas HaTzorach, ghettos, concentration camps, Soviet Union, you know, can you make a wedding if you're not going to be able to have a minion? So that's not our topic, but it's all predicated, those kind of shilas, on the fact that it's the favorite from the Mishnah and the Gemara, that you do need a minion for Sheva Brachas. That's not for Kiddushin, obviously, but for Nisuin.
But it's not Ma'akim. Even if you don't have Sheva Brachas, you still lose.
That's correct. But whether you should do a wedding in such a context is not such a simple thing. The Gemara Ksubas has a discussion with the sources, and the important point what I want to discuss now is the fact that it's clear, the Gemara and the Tur passes this way, Beferish and Ibn Ezer, that the Chassin can count towards one of the ten. It's interesting, and this is quoted in the name of the Griz, or Velvel, in the Ma'atike Shmua, which is a collection of Torah from the Brisker Beis Medrash, that Rabbi Kiva Eger and others in Arachayim had a discussion about the fact that there are many poskim who hold, and Kiva Eger seems to be among them, that when it comes to Birchas HaGomel, which is also listed as something that needs a minion, the Mavarech is not counted as one of the ten. So why is it, they wondered, why the Chaskin can be part of the ten for Sheva Brachos, but the Mavarech cannot be part of the ten for Birchas HaGomel, according to those who feel that way. And he pointed out that the reason is because, and he assumes that Sheva Brachos are a Davar Shebikdusha. Sheva Brachos are a Davar Shebikdusha, and therefore, just like a minion, you have the Chazan is a Davar Shebikdusha, he can count as ten, he counts as one of the ten, so too for Sheva Brachos. However, Birchas HaGomel is not a Davar Shebikdusha. The halacha is that the one who is the recipient of God's great kindness, who saved him, he, or she, according to those who have the minhag for women to say it, should be Mavarech, should thank Hashem, Bifnei Asara. So you need the Asara to be the ones hearing it, by definition. If it was just a din and minion, the way we usually think of it, Enechanami, the Mavarech should count. But the point is here, no, you need 10 listeners, that's the point. You need a tzibur to hear Hashem's praise.
But davening, regular davening, that's the point.
As opposed to Birchas HaGomel, which is not that, which you might have thought is a lesser level, which it is, but paradoxically, Taka, we're going to be more machmir in that sense. In light of that, okay, so now we have a little bit of an understanding why it should work. However, the Prisha, in his comments on the tour, he raises a question with this. And the Prisha is bothered in light of the sources that we began with. Zok the Prisha, he assumes that the source for Sheva Brachos is the story with Boaz. If you take a look there in the Megillah, it's clear that Boaz gathered people, and the people that were there, it was clearly not including him. That's the Mashmos, says the Prisha, from Pesukim there in Megillah's Rus. So how is it, if that's the source, that we can assume, halacha, that the Chosin can count? So there's different answers to the question, some of which I think are very, very interesting and illuminate certain yisodos of Sheva Brachos. So for example, one answer, which I guess is in the more technical vein, the Chasam Sofer there in the Gemara in Ksubas quotes based on Yerushalmi, as well as some of the Mefarshim on the Ein Yaakov, also in this vein, who have different understandings of the Pesukim in the Megillah. So obviously, if you take that route, so then you really don't gonna have a problem. However, what's very interesting is that the Baal Hafla in Ksubis quotes from the Tshuvas Knesset Yecheskel in the Hagdama, and he points out that this goes back to the issue of what is your source for the minyan of Sheva Brachos, or the concept of Sheva Brachos, I should say. The Prisha asks this question based on the Megillah's Rus. However, the Knesset Yecheskel points out, if you take a look at the Rambam does not quote that Makor. The Rambam doesn't also doesn't go in our Parsha. The Rambam quotes, of all things, the Pasuk from Tehillim, the Makolos. So in that vein, says the Hafla, therefore, he said, maybe this shiloh of the chosin can count for the minyan will be a nafgamina based on what you hold the pasuk is as the source for Sheva Brachos. If you hold this from Boaz and Rus's wedding, so then it's meduyuk. He's not arguing with that. It's meduyuk, like the prisha that didn't include the chosin. But if you hold that it's based on this idea of a makalos, we're going to praise Hashem, so then why can't the chosin be part of that? And I saw, in light of this, I saw a very beautiful, I think a very compelling diuk from a contemporary sefer called the Yismach Leiv. I think the author was named Savitz, if I'm not mistaken. I think he may be from Lakewood. I think he's American. And he pointed out that this point may further hinge on a question which I think is very interesting. And I submit, most likely, myself included, how many weddings have we all been to? I don't know if any one of us, including our own Baruch Hashem, how many of us have really thought of the following, and that is that if you think about it, and you go through the brachos, he says it's not clear what the purpose of the brachos is. Is it fundamentally a blessing to the chasen and kala? I would suggest that we all assume it is. But he says it's not so pashut, it could be that it's fundamentally a praise of Hashem. Either way, he says, and if you take a look, just think about it, the brachos interweave both themes. So he says, the shayla though is, what's the dominant? Is it pshat that we're blessing the chasan and kala and also Hashem? Or is it, no, the focus is on blessing Hashem and, so to speak, spilling over to the chasan and kala? He suggests, and again, if I read the sefer correctly, I didn't see him quoting anyone in this regard. So it could be this is chiddush, and it could be that I missed it, and it's really an earlier source. But he says, maybe that's the deeper issue of what the source in Tanakh is. Because if it's the story of Rus, or for that matter, the Pasuk in our Parsha, clearly the focus is on blessing the Chasen and Kala. However, that Pasuk in Tehillim, which the Rambam quotes as the source of Sheva Brachos, I don't know if it struck any of you when I even quoted it from the Kala Rabasi, from the Mesachus Kala, about this Makolos, right? What's the Pasuk? Makolos Baruch Elokim. What's it got to do with Chasen and Kala? We're blessing Hashem, and yet that's what the Rambam says is the source of Sheva Brachos. So you see from that, if you hold that pasuk as the mocker, so then the pshat is that the focus is we're actually in the context of the simcha, we're blessing Hashem, and memela, that blessing of Hashem should redound over to the chasen and the kala. And therefore it could be that that fundamental question goes back to the sources, and the other practical nafkamina will be whether the chasen can count. Another very different, but I think also interesting and teeth insight that suggested that might also relate to this is from the Netziv. The Netziv in the Hamek Shela has a chiddush which is quoted by a lot of the contemporary svarim, who points out that the reason he thinks that the chasen can count is because in lomdis he himself is mechuyev. It's not just pshat that we're mechuyev to mesameach chasen makala; he is mechuyev to mesameach his kala, and therefore, just like we make the brachos, if you have 10 people, any one of them could be making the brachos. If you have 9 other people, I should say, they're going to be. So too, anyone who is mechuyev in the mitzvah can also count towards the minyan, as we often find in other areas where we require darshan v'kedusha. I thought that's a very interesting insight from the Netziv. We'll see if we often, when we get to the end of the shir with the topic of women, that there are those who, in that context, make the point more generally that perhaps the chasen is not mechuyev in that. But we'll get to that when we get to it. So that seems to be what the Netziv says. I'm not sure about that pasuk. There are a few other pasukim. We mentioned that in the beginning of the year, including the one from our parsha. But that one I'm not familiar with. But it could be that I'm just not familiar with it. I want to point out something interesting that the Rishonim really discussed, which is that even though it seems to be obvious and everyone agrees that the chasen counts to the minyan, even if Mikra Adin he could make the brachos. And Bidi Evan, B'Shas HaTzorach, all poskim seem to allow it. Nevertheless, the Rishon were ready. All right, L'chachila, the chassid should not be one of the people making the brachos. And there's different reasons given. So some hold, like the Mordechai, who's one of the first who's quoted as this regard, although not the earliest to say it, but his most well-known source. The Mordechai says it would be yuhara for him to do it, and that really relates, I'm not sure the big difference between that and Hagos Smak, that says it would make the other chassan who might not be able to do the brachos embarrassed. I'm not sure why that's a huge difference in the Europe shot. They seem to be both pretty much very similar, but that's mentioned. The manhig says the chassid will be preoccupied, his mind will be on other things, and therefore he's not going to be able to have proper kavana. And I think, going back to the issue we just saw, the chachira we just cleared, they quote from the name of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam, that it may be a different point, which is that if the whole purpose is to be mesameach and give a bracha to chassid akala, so it's a little bit unseemly that he should be giving a bracha to himself. Again, why is it that only Rabbi ben Arambam gave that answer? Could be that that relates to the chakira we saw before, which relates to the source. Now, I would point out, however, if everything we're saying until now is correct, which is some of it's speculative, admittedly, but what would come out would be that this would be, and I think I've shared this with you before, yet again another example where Avraham and Rambam is inconsistent with his father. Yichatz, right? Yichatz. Because we just said the Rambam is from Umakalos, it's Bakalos is blessing Hashem, and here it's Avraham and Rambam saying it's... So the answer is twofold. The answer is, number one, our diuk in the psukim might be off. Number two is, everyone admits that whatever the ikkar is, the other one is also included.
Yeah, well, the
process,
like you say,
100%. But I can't resist making that ha'ara to you, just because I think I've mentioned to you over the years, sometimes explicitly, and just even if when not explicit, there was just a composite of examples where, at least if you were Talmidim of Meir Bain, you just kind of assumed when you heard of Rav Ben Arambam, he must be wrong. it just kind of grew on you in that regard. But anyway, it could be this is an example of that, and perhaps not. Okay. So that's all one or two of the brief halachas I wanted to share with you. You need a minyan, the chassan can count for the minyan, and the chassan shouldn't make the brachas. Who should make the brachas? Who should? So this is also a discussion by some of the mefarshim, and again, the Rav Avraham ben Arambam is quoted by later sources, and others will jump on this as well, that it should be a gadol. The gadol in the room, the gadol in the town, the Talmud Chacham, that's the one who's supposed to be making the brachos. We didn't get to yet the issue of splitting them up. Let's assume that it's only one person. But it shouldn't just be anybody. It should be someone who's a very significant person. Furthermore, the Knesset HaGadolah quotes this idea as well. And I mention it because the Knesset HaGadolah points out, again, as we saw in the earlier topic we just saw, this may also go back to the source. Because what was one of the other sources I told you? Pasuk in Bereishis, when Adam and Chava get married, and this Chazal, the Hashem made the wedding for them, and he was blessing them. So you see, if the Makor is the Hashem made the brachas, so then certainly, as Hashem lekechatira l'rabbas min chachamim, you should have a similar Talmud Chacham making the brachas. L'maisa, all the poskim point out, for a while, and certainly contemporary poskim, this is not necessarily the minug. No one looks askance when great uncle Harry gets the bracha, or the fathers of the chassan, or the grandparents. Although one could suggest that there's a certain hitter to try giving it to Rabbanim. I have to tell you that, I'm proud to say that I am now one day into my 14th year of marriage. We just had our bar mitzvah. The 19th, my anniversary, was our bar mitzvah, our 13th anniversary. My card to my wife was a mock bar mitzvah card. I wish that she should bring nachas to her family. I wasn't sure if she would like it or not. It was a little bit risky, I have to say. I left it on her pillow, and I was in the other room, and when I heard her laughing out loud, I figured I got something right in 13 years. Yeah, anyway. No, I didn't know. I didn't give her a Kiddush cup either, but anyway. At the time of my wedding, 13 plus years ago now, I did not know this sugya, I admit that. But Maisa, I had a chush like that, and under my chuppah, there was not even the fathers, it was all the rabbanim who got those kibbutim under the chuppah. But as I said, it's clear that that's not ma'akev. The minig in many, many circles is just as common to do it otherwise, but there are sources that do indicate that. And again, once again, another topic which may go back to what the original source is. Third topic to discuss. And that is, when do you make the brachas? Now, this seems like such a silly question, because you've always seen the brachas being done at the exact same time. Well, that's just because you haven't been born in the 20th century. But if you were a Rishon, And especially if you live in the area in the time of the Rambam, it wouldn't be so simple for you as all, because as shocking as it may sound, considering our practice, which biases us, the Rambam is beferish against it. The Rambam holds that you would make the Birkas Nesuin before the Chuppah. The Rambam is beferish in Hilchos Ishus, Perakyur Halacha Gimel, you make the Brachos before they go to the Chuppah. So that's the Shaila, why? That's exactly the Shaila, why? So the Ran in Psochem Dav Zayim, which is the big Birkas Mitzvah Sugya and Shas, the Ran there, first of all, disagrees. The Ran there disagrees. Thank you. You're a Gabbai Taka. I should have asked you. The Chutzpah, I didn't specifically ask you. Alan should do it. The Ran there disagrees. And the Ran says, like Arminog, that you say the brachos after they're ready in the Chuppah. And then the Ran says his reason. The Ran says the reason is because these brachos are brachos shevach v'hodah. We always do them after the fact. And then the Ran goes so far as to say, and even the Rambam, who I disagree with, but the Rambam also agrees. It's not, he bavorns, what you suggested. It's not because of our Los Yosef, which is a Berachas HaMitzvah idea, because no one could say that, says the Ran. Rather, it's that the Rambam is L'shitaso, because the Rambam holds that Nisuin is Yichud HaRa'i L'biyah. Just to give you a 2-minute digression, there's a tremendous contrast in the way Chazal treat Kiddushin and Nisuin. Right? Kiddushin gets its own Masechta. You don't have to go far in the Masechta. The first Mishnah tells you what exactly it is. It's very defined. It doesn't mean there's not a Gemara, there's not what to talk about, there's not Rishonim, Machloksim, but it's very specific. There's no Masechta anywhere Shas called Nisuin. There's no Masechta anywhere Shas called Nisuin. You will, obviously, you're not going to find it in Zvachim. Sorry, it's Masechta's in, but it's not at all defined. You'll tell me, you read all of Ksubas, tell me which Gemara in a very big Masechta, which Rishon referred to as Shas Katan, where does it tell you what Nisuin is in all of Ksubas? The answer is it doesn't. It never ever tells you. It's so, I mean, I'm just pointing out the contrast. Rav Rosenzweig always just to point out the contrast. It's just belate, as you would say there. It's just jarring, striking, the contrast. And that may indicate something in conceptually too. But the bottom line is, because of that contrast, it's therefore unlike, even though it's undisputed, there's no machloksim, what counts as kiddushin. We know, gimel darchi kiddushin. Details within the drachim may be discussed, okay. But basic halacha, what is kiddushin? It's not a debate, it's a mishnah. There's a debate in the mishnah about what the value of the kesef is. But again, that's a detail. But maisa, when it comes to something as basic, I mean, it's actually shocking, it's really shocking. Something as basic as how do you do nisuin, marriage in halacha, marriage in Judaism? There's at least 3 major shittas in Rishonim and probably 1 or 2 other minor shittas. What is it? Not details of how to fulfill it. What does it mean? What do the words mean? So we talk about chuppah, but the truth is that the chuppah that you and I all stood under, and we're all going to go to weddings with chuppahs, that happens to be 1 shittah in Rishonim. That's not what everyone else was. The Rambam didn't have a chuppah. He would have been transported. Now he doesn't even know what you're doing. Our minug is from the Ramana Vizra. Our minug conflates the 3 most popular, 3 of the most popular shittas Rishon. We do them all. And the one that the Rambam believed in was Yichud. That's why we go to the Yichud room afterwards. According to the Rambam, that's the room that should say Chuppah. That's really the Chuppah. And the Rambam furthermore held that it has to be Ro'i Labia. If you didn't have Ro'i Labia, then there's no Nisuin. So that's all point one. Point two is, the opening words of Maseches Kal Rabasi, which I probably should have mentioned even right at the outset of the shiur, is the famous mimer, the Kala B'lo Bracha, there's a certain Isser, it's the Rabbanon, it's not the Raisa, but even if you did everything else, if you haven't had the Sheva Brachos, there's an Isser of Isha Labal. So therefore, says the Ran, oh, that must be the reason the Rambam says you need the Brachos first. It's because he holds that the Chuppah, which he presumably means going to the Yichud room, must be Roy Labia, so you have to do the brachas first, or else there's no point in going into the chuppah. That's the Ran's very, it sounds like a Rosh Hashiva, but you know, contemporary Rosh Hashiva doing a pilpul. But that's the Ran's suggestion for the Rambam. But the point is, Naniach, he says it's not that the Rambam holds the brachas a mitzvah, he agrees it's Shev Hodah, but it also has this other function of being Roy, making Roy Labia. Now it happens to be that if you take a look in the Beis Yosef, he holds like you. The Beis Yosef, when he quotes the Rambam, he assumes that the Rambam was saying this over Lasi Yosan. That's what you were Machaber to the Beis Yosef. But the Ran, in that point, disagreed. The Darkei Moshe discusses this, and he points out that he thinks it's very schwer, this sharp I gave you a second to enjoy it. But he says this explanation of the Ran is a little bit schwer, because anyway, we hold, and again, unless you really want to swear, the Ramah would hold us the way B'dyavid, which would be kind of sure in itself, but certainly L'halacha L'maisa, we hold that a chuppas nida is still kona, right? So, even though that's not Royal Leviyah, number one. Number two is, especially if you're using, whether it would be Yichudum or our Yichud L'maisa, even if you wait and make the brachas at a later point, when they make the brachas, they're still under the chuppah. As you're still going to have an overlay siyasan. And even if you don't do them before they walk into the chuppah, but as you do it afterwards, you know, the way the Ran was suggesting, they're not somehow going to instantaneously be out of the chuppah, however defined. They're still going to be there. So even if they weren't there right away, you know, they're still going to have a time where they had brachas before some time that they remained in chuppah. And therefore, the Darkei Moshe and others, you know, it's not surprising that the minhag evolved. I don't know. I don't think even in Sfarshish circles. I don't think it's universal. I think, as far as I know, that of course we all make the brachos later and not furthermore. The Makna and also the Piskei Tshuva point out a whole other reason, which is that Bezmanenu, when we have Kiddushin right then, so you couldn't do the brachos before the Kiddushin. We wouldn't do that. So the Ram only made sense, even in theory, if you had already had a prior Kiddushin. But anyway, that's halacha number three for the day, which is almost the most basic one. We all take for granted, and what we take for granted is correct. It's not, I wasn't going to shock you, but it is worth noting that the Rambam disagrees, and there's a little bit of a disagreement why he disagrees, which is an interesting discussion in its own right.
Isn't that svara that being badekel constitutes part of
the absolutely? Family? Yeah, that's why do we do a badekel?
There's no brachas there.
Why do we do a badekin? Exactly. So if someone was really convinced that they were going to make a whole wedding just badekin, then I guess they would make the brachas there. That's an economic. My Rebbe was in Lechachila. I don't think he would have held his makiv, but he was makiv that there should be 80 badekin. I had 80 badekin at my wedding. Yeah. Yeah, you know all those Wayu chumers. Anyway, so...
Can we use the 80 at Kedushin for 80 Yichud too?
You could, yeah, absolutely. If you have no friends and you don't have any rabbis, you could double or triple and quadruple dip.
Isn't it implicit when you say Kedushin that they also go for the Chuppah too?
No. Nowadays it's fakert. Nowadays it's fakert. So first of all, there's no such thing as Eidei Chuppah.
Right, there is no such thing.
Nowadays, that's right. I'm saying...
So why not?
Look, because that's a big discussion. That it's not clear at all in Rishonim. The Or Sameach, for example, has a huge piece, Do you need Eidei Kiyum for the ring? This, again, it's a good question, so it's worth digressing for a minute. The witnesses we have at a chuppah really have to be understood. There's two reasons why you have witnesses in halacha, which are popularly referred to as either Eidei Birur or Eidei Kiyum, right? Sometimes you have witnesses because what if someone denies it ever happened? So witnesses will say, Mavar, what happened, what didn't happen. There's a whole separate type of Eidim, which are in certain areas of halacha are required, called Eidei Kiyum. Namely, you need them, or Rosenberg always used to call them, a solemnizing presence. That by them being there, it changes the whole character of the event, and it elevates it, and without them, it's as if it didn't happen, even if 1,000 people saw it on a TV screen or something. But you need their physical presence in order to make this happen. So the Kiddushin, it's clear, Eidei Kiddushin, not Eidei Birur, Eidei Kiddushin or Eidei Kiyum. Kiddushin without Eidim, it doesn't matter. Let's say you had one Eid, and the Eid is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So if Moshe Rabbeinu told me there was a wedding, I'm not going to believe him. Of course I believe him. It doesn't matter. Halachically, it's Lo Shava Klum, because you need the two Eidei Kiddushin in order to create this Chalos Kiddushin. The Shaila is, so, Eidei Kiyum. Mestama, you would want to have, although really just to protect yourself, Eidei Birur, to know that you got married. What if someone, all of a sudden, a woman says, you married me, pay me my mizonis. You know, who are you? Well, I have any birur, you married me. You know, or I have any birur, I don't know what you're talking about. So, birur, mestama, they could play that role, but that's not the exciting question. The exciting question is, does Nesuin need any kiyum or not? And the Or Sameach has a long, long essay to this effect, because generally there's a rule of thumb, and obviously I'm just giving you Rashi Prakim of major sugyas here. The rule of thumb is something that's what's called chavla acharini, something that you're doing but could have negative consequences to other people. Things that are chavla acharini need Eidei Kiyum. So the Or Sameach takes that very literally, and he has a whole long arichas to determine whether nesuin, because we already have a kedushin, but is nesuin in and of itself considered chavla acharini, and does that relate to arayos and she'er and all sorts of things like that? And I don't know if it's written anywhere, but I, at least, you know, I heard it Baal Peh from Rebbe Vogelzweig more than once, and then Rebbe Chaim, that he felt that the Or Sameach, the nice essay, but it completely missed the point, and that for him was a davar poshut that you didn't need it. And that relates to the fundamental difference, which I was alluding to before, the difference between Kiddushin and Nisuin. And basically, in Kitzer Nimrutz, Kiddushin is a Kenyan, and Nisuin is a Metzias. It's just like the final Metzias, it's a Metzias of Ishus. It's not a creative process as much as it is almost creating facts on the ground. And therefore it has less significance as much as the fact that everyone's there and celebrating. But from a strictly halakhic perspective. So that's a very short 2-3 minute summary of a much, much more complicated topic. But it's certainly a good question.
Why do you need yichud for? It's only a mirror, like you say.
Yeah, but that's true. That exactly, 100%. Okay, yeah, no one holds his Kiddushin, that's obvious. Okay. Another interesting topic to mention in this context, and that is microphones. Can the Sheva Brachas be said into a microphone or not? Now, I'll tell you that when I came to Baltimore as a Rav, I was stunned. Because it seems to be ubiquitous. I never saw anyone be Poseach Peh in Baltimore. And let's be honest, we know of Kumras in Baltimore. But I haven't yet heard of anybody say that you can't use a microphone. And every chuppah I've ever been at, with the biggest rabbonim in town, always has a microphone for Shabbat brachos. You can't get married on Shabbos, so. Anyway.
What's the shot of answering
for me? So I want to point out the reason. So I came to Baltimore, that was something that I was very mocked, but not that you shouldn't have. Then I got here, and I said, every rabbi here seems to be Mekel. So let's give you a little bit of the story here. Obviously, there's no ancient Makaros on this topic. It's a modern topic. But there are a lot of tshuvas on it. The microphones, rudimentary microphones, are not entirely new. More sophisticated microphones are new. Most poskim who write about microphones in any context, and I'm not even talking about the Chashavis now, in any context, are anti. The one who was Mekel, at least in theory, was Rav Moshe. It's not a Masorah, it's not a rumor, it's in the Igros Moshe. And he was asked about using a microphone for Megillah reading. And there, he is against it, Lamaisa, because he thinks it's going to look like a Reform shul or a conservative shul, and that's not a good thing. But fundamentally, it's clear from that tshuva that he held that there was nothing wrong, and that the reason, and he's clear, he has a whole lumbus, he holds that it's kol adam mamash. You're hearing the voice. After all, until the person speaks, you don't hear anything out of the microphone. I'm sure in some super, on some level, it's not happening mamish simultaneously, but to the human ear, it's simultaneous. There's no...
It's indifferentiable.
Indifferentiable, that's a good word, thank you. So, after all, he says, that's mamish. He says, it's kol adam mamish. Among the people who disagreed, the most vociferous was the Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And I didn't check the dates, and I couldn't prove it if I checked the dates. I don't know that he was specifically talking about Rav Moshe. But if the dates work out, then I would suspect that he was, but he never mentions anyone by name, but just Yesh Matirim. He is firing with a bazooka. He thinks it is out of control. It is so wrong. He says it's a ta'us. He says it's not my style to say Kiblu Daiti, which it wasn't Rav Shlomo Zalman's, but here there's just right and there's wrong. There's no two ways about it. People didn't understand the Metzius. He accuses them, they don't understand how microphones work. It's clear that a microphone, it might as well be the call of a malach. It's a completely different sound. It's completely manufactured, artificial sound. It is anything that would require kol adam. It is not, period. And therefore, it's not just pshat, you should have a Megillah reading, so it looks like a Reform shul. Anyone who hears the Megillah through the microphone didn't hear the Megillah. It might as well be that you had a computer program saying. The computer program also sounds like a voice. If I pre-record a computer program and then hit play, does that count? Of course not. Because a microphone is no better. And there are others who agreed, but Rav Shlomo Zalman is the most notable, and was the most vociferous. In the Tshuvas, he mentions in a Ha'ara that right after he originally wrote this, because Rav Shlomo Zalman was one of the earlier pioneers in electricity, he writes that he saw the Chazon Ish, and even though Chazon Ish agreed with him, Lamaisa, Chazish at the time wasn't as convinced as he was about the rightness of his position in conceptual. But then again, I don't know, with all due respect, if Chazish was up on the Metzius technology at that point, or Shlomo Zalman was. But Maisa, he Rav Chazanish wasn't necessarily disagreeing. Even Rav Moshe wasn't necessarily advocating that you should do it. But in Lomdas, he felt that fundamentally it's kol adam, therefore it would work. And on that point, Rav Shlomo Zalman was not in the mood even to compromise or to play nice. He thought it was completely wrong. There's a lot of poskim who more or less agree with this. And it's interesting, one of the years that I was in the Kol Elyon, I also was in the Yad Yad Kol. I had a Habamita going for Dayanus for that year. And that year they were doing Gittin. So in addition to learning Hilchos Gittin, we had weekly Chaburas. And I recall one of the issues was, could you be mana a shliach for the get via a telephone or via something technological? It's a big issue where very often, I mean, if the couple is interested in acting like mention, there's no, you don't need. The guy goes to the sofa and says, I'm being reminded he goes a shlich to write the get for me. But very often when you have people who are less inclined, either because they are not, because it's very unamicable or they're not frum, so they just don't care about a get, even if they don't necessarily hate their now almost ex-wife. But the bottom line is, you have very often the case where you have people in all sorts of faraway places, and if like you can get them to say yes, you're not going to say, okay, now in 3 weeks you're going to fly back to Baltimore to meet with the shliach, with the sofer. You'll never get him. You'll never see him again. The shaila is, especially in certain shasat chaks, because if you can get him on the phone right there, and he'll say to the sofer, I'm being reminded you to write the shliach, to write a get, would that work or not? So in that context, I remember hearing a chabura from Rabbi Bleich, and Rabbi Bleich also is not so animated. I mean, he can be very opinionated, but not so animated. It was the most animated I ever saw him. And he, you know, he's a Mr. Technology expert. He was all on Rav Shlomo Zalman's side, all over Rav Moshe. Also, same thing. There's no two ways about this. It's not Elu, but Elu is just right, and it's wrong. So with all that baggage, I showed up in Baltimore. And here, all the Baltimore rabbis, there's microphones under every chuppah. I would sometimes be called when I was in New York under a chuppah, but even if the microphone was there, I'd move the microphone away. There was no microphone under my chuppah, at least not for the actual brachos and stuff. That was my misara to be makbid on this. So I think the explanation is either that they hold like Rav Moshe, so you know, if someone tells me I want to hold like Rav Moshe, I'm going to tell them Rav Shlomo Zalman to hold your kiss, and you can't. You know, okay, that's, you know, who am I? And I can understand that. But I think the better, or hopefully the more likely reason, maybe, one which at least would pacify me, is that, many of these Svarim, and I saw this name of Tuvia Goldstein also, and others, and the Suvik Kalkasa quotes this as well, point out that assuming that it's being said loud enough, that in addition to the chosin, there's nine other people who hear it, say, Echanami, you and I sitting in the back, Taka, we're not Yotzei. We thought we were Yotzei, we heard a bracha, we made Amen, and that was all a silly, charade that we went through. Okay, that's not ideal, which is why I wouldn't want to do it personally. If it'll be up to me. Okay, but fundamentally, what you yotzei, which is an important point, kalab lo bracha. So they hold as long as you have a minion of people. So you got the guy making the bracha, you got the chassan, that's already two. You got if the rabbi is a different person, that's three. You got the band guy, if he's Jewish, and you got the photographer, if he's Jewish. You know, you got people up there, mustamba. That's. I'm guessing. I have not asked the other Rabbanim in town. But even those Rabbanim who might want to be Machmer could rely.
You're going to ask now and get back to us?
Maybe. Two last things. I don't have time. It's late, and I want to get to two last things, okay? Number one is just very, very quickly, just to let you know, there's a very interesting debate about dividing up the brachas. Again, we go to every wedding we've been to, they're dividing up the brachas. And ironically, sometimes it's like in the real non-from, non-affiliated weddings, or maybe the rabbi or the chazan says all seven, right? You've been to such weddings? Right, but we almost, quote unquote, look down on it. That's a non-from person. Oh, they have to have a chazan or the rabbi, so all seven brachas. Lamaisa, there are Sfarim, the Shari Ephraim, and the Rav Tzvi Frank Paskin like this way in principle, well, it's wrong to divide the brachos. After all, from Hilchos Brachos perspective, not all of the brachos begin with a baruch. So the only way you're supposed to have such a bracha that if it's samuch to a different bracha, but if you have two different people saying it, that's a hefshlik between them. And therefore, the Shacharim held you shouldn't have any division. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank fundamentally agreed, but, you know, there's the pressure of reality that even Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had to deal with, and therefore he came up with something ingenious. He says, Taka, you can have five people make the brachas. If you go through your list, open up your bentry, you'll see. You have one person say the first bracha, bar paragraph, and that's a baruch. Right, then the second bracha, that's a baruch. The third bracha, that's a baruch. Then you'll have to have, he'll also do the fourth bracha, right? Then he'll do the fourth. In the end, he counted five. Other posts came with five people, maybe really only four, because Bar Pri Gafin is its own sugya. Because Bar Pri Gafin is not Muchach Mielov, you share Bar Pri Gafin, you could be it could be Shabbos, it could be Pesach, or it could be a wedding. There's no unique Bar Pri, so therefore there are those who are Machmir to always join Bar Pri Gafin with the second bracha. In fact, at my wedding, I had also because I only had six rabbis, but who I hadn't already given kibbutz to. But also I had this hakpada in my mind, so we had one person do the first two brachas. So even according to Pesach Frank, you need to do four or five brachas. Lamaisa, as you all know, our overwhelmingly common minhag is to separate them. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about this. He says Moshe lechachila. And if you're interested in the Maramakum, you'll look it up for why. His reasons are, I'm happy to give the Maramakum. Last topic, we didn't do everything. I had a feeling we wouldn't do. I have a lot of stuff here. But a lot of interesting stuff about Panim Chadashos, Shabbos, not Shabbos, women for Panim Chadashos, one or two. A lot of topics we're not going to have a chance to get to. Last topic to mention, and that is, can women recite Shabbat Brachos? So, the Rambam, and Shulchan Aruch passes this way, the Rambam quotes that an Eved or a Katan cannot be part of the Shabbat Brachos. It's a very striking talk, because we're used to the familiar triad of Nashim, Avodim, and Ketanim, and here Nashim are left out. And there were those who wanted to suggest, perhaps, that they're hinting at the fact that maybe Taka, women can say that. Of major league heavy hitter Talmid Chachamim, I only saw one who really was willing to say that, and that was Rav Yehuda Gershuni Zatzal. And he has a sefer called Chokhmas Gershon, which is not as well known as some of the others for him, but he wants to infer from this omission that the women are chayiv in the brachos, and therefore they can also make them. Now he adds that if it's going to lead to a big machlokes and a big controversy in the taram, so that's also b'chamokum to do things that make a machlokes, and therefore you shouldn't do it. However, if the Chosan HaKala really wanted, then it's probably better, he says, that the people shouldn't create a machlokes and ruin their wedding, or ruin the Shabbat brachos. So I think he is willing to say, at least in theory, it's okay, if not in Lamaisa. The one who is well known as Bar Plukta on this was Roshal Yisraeli, the former chief rabbi in the Roshiva Merkas Harav, and his tshuva sforim Chavos Binyamin, and he has a whole lumdis where he fundamentally disagrees, and he makes a very interesting point, and he assumes that, also going back to the source, he holds it from the Pasuk in Tehillim of Makelos, and that's a chiyuv, and therefore only someone who's part of a tzibur, who could count for the 10 up to being this Makelos, would be able to say it, and that's obviously only men, as we saw. Furthermore, he has another chiddush. Interestingly, this thing is tenuous, or at least very debatable, but he has a very mechudish idea. He says, really fundamentally, as a tzibur, we're only mechuyiv to misameach the chasen. The chasen is misameach to misameach the kala, but we're only chayiv to misameach the chasen. It says, ketzim rakdif ne'a kala, we do that to misameach the chasen, he says. And therefore, since that's the fundamental way, he says, it wouldn't be tsanua for a man to be misameach, for a woman to be misameach the chasen. And therefore, even though there's nothing per se unsanua about saying a bracha, but since she wouldn't be dancing in front of the chasen, which not everyone realizes, but he took as a given, of course she wouldn't be dancing in front of the chasen, therefore, even something which is a lot more sanua per se, like just making a bracha, nevertheless, he held, once we said it wasn't sanua, therefore, it got, so to speak, taken out. The Rambam doesn't quote it, he says he has only a havamina by an Eved and a Katan, because after all, why shouldn't they be able to do it? There's a man in front of a man or something? Yeah, Kamash Malan, that they can't. But he says, a woman, there would not even be such a Havamina. There's a Kolel, which actually Shaul Israeli was the Nasi of towards the end of his life, called Eretz Kamda. We actually had them speak once in Shomrei. It's a very elite Dayanus Kolel, mainly for Talmid Chachamim, coming from the religious Zionist world, which is Shaul Israeli was the Rosh Kolel there. So they have tshuvas called B'mari HaBezek, and they're very close with Zalman Nechemi Goldberg Shlita, is one of their main people. And he appended a tshuva to this discussion, in which he, in Lomdus, is in Fakbik on Rav Gershuni a little bit, he's in Fakbik on Rav Yisraeli a little bit, but Lamaisa, he had a different chiddush. He holds that the Shabbat Brachos, at least he's talking about during the meals, he goes, he holds as part of the chiyuv of benching. And aside from everything else, he holds, since we always have a shiloh about whether women are chayavos and benching on the same level as a man, certainly she couldn't be motzi people by making the bracha. And of course, the final point, which is certainly worth saying, and Rav Zalman Nechemia says it explicitly, which is all of this would be halacha olah lamaisa anyway, in the climate with feminism and other things. So lamaisa, even if it would be mutter gamur ikra din, he doesn't want to use necessarily that term, but because he contrasts it with Kriyas HaTorah in a certain regard. Except for all the Rambam, no one says that, the way they do say it on Kriyas HaTorah. But nevertheless, halacha olah lamaisa, even if he thought it would have been okay, which, again, Mr. Eli is not talking about feminism. Mr. Eli is talking about in the base matter, because Hilchazav and Ezra, he held it was wrong. And Rav Zalman Nechemia also agreed with him, the Lav Mitameh, that it would be wrong. But anyway, he adds that for the meta halachic issues, the fifth chiyuv of Shulchan Aruch issues, similarly, and Ani Akotin would certainly disagree. I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm very conservative on these issues. I'm not apologetic about that either, and I would never allow such a thing, Lamaisa. But it is worth noting, Rav Gershuni was not a small Talmud Chacham. And he seemed to allow it, and even if we could debate it in the base medrash, it wouldn't be as crazy as some other things people have come up with. I guess that's as bipartisan as I'm willing to be. A good Shabbos to everyone, and a reminder that there's no shiur next week.